What God has done over the course of this series is He has transferred you out of being people who pray to being people of prayer. And now, adult service is ending, and they're ending kind of early. And so I was going to cover this with scripture. It can be covered in scripture. It's going to talk about the house of God. You can go and look in Exodus, specifically, hand me my tablet. More specifically, in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel to be specific, when Saul is building the house of God, I want you to understand this. God is serious about His house. He's serious about His house. Now, the last time I was with you, we spent a lot of time talking about the house of God and how not only is He serious about His house, but He's serious about all parts of His house. And so, and I'll just read this scripture. In 2 Samuel, what you find is Solomon, there we go, is building the temple of God. And then in 1 Kings chapter 8, it says this, "And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord." This is the cloud, the glory of God. "So that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke, 'The Lord said He would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever.'" And so, because the glory of God began to manifest itself in the house, Solomon didn't look at the house to determine whether or not it was a suitable place for God. He looked at the manifestation of the glory to determine whether or not it was a suitable place for the dwelling of God. A couple of weeks ago, we learned that you are the temple of God. And so you don't have to look at whether or not you've gotten it right in life, whether or not everything's going right inside you, or whether or not everything is going right in your members, or whether or not everything's going right in your family, or whether or not you have slipped up or messed up. You may have sinned. That doesn't make you a sinner. You're still the righteousness of God. You may have gotten it wrong or made a mistake. That doesn't make you a failure. What that means is you made a mistake, but you're still the righteousness of God. Solomon never looked at the house to determine whether or not God should be in the house. He evaluated whether or not God was in the house to determine whether or not the house was acceptable to God. A lot of times we play the middleman with God. I'm not good enough, so I guess God can't bless me, or I guess God's not speaking to me, or I guess God's presence isn't here because I've done X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. God doesn't evaluate it that way. We've seen the very tangible glory of God fall in this place with you in the building, which tells me this. If the glory of God can manifest itself in this building with you in it, there must not be anything wrong with you. You must qualify. Somebody gave you a passing grade. Somebody said that you were good enough for the manifestation of the glory of God. So God is serious about His house, and He's also serious about who He allows to minister in His house and how He fills His house with glory. Jesus comes on the scene several thousand years later, and He walks into the temple and He sees these people changing money in the temple, and He begins to say, "You know what? This is wrong. The book of Psalms says of Jesus, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.'" Isaiah prophesied that he would have such a passion for his father's house. And so he walks into where the glory of God used to be, but something else was given place above the glory, and he begins to set things straight. The Bible, my heading in my Bible, over that portion of scripture says Jesus cleanses the temple. So what that tells me is this, is if there's anything in your life that you feel disqualifies you from the manifestation of the glory of God, that the blood of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, and the power of Jesus, and the zeal that Jesus has for his Father's temple will cleanse it. Paul begins to write to people and tell them, look, do you not know that you are a living sacrifice? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body belongs to God. You're not yours. You were bought with a price. You were paid for. You are the temple of God. And then we sang this amazing, awesome song. And I want you to understand this. When you worship and you're saying those songs are confessions. I debated whether or not I was even going to sing that song because it says I'm weak and poor. I believe that when that man wrote that song, he was not talking about being physically weak and being physically poor. He was talking about there are limitations to what I can do in myself. But through you, I'm coming back to the heart of worship where it's not about what I can do, it's about what you can do. What you say in worship matters. Your confession, and we're going to talk about this when we start talking about being spirit-led, but your confession matters. Because what you say out of your mouth will be evidence of what you believe in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you say out of your mouth will be evidence of what you have truly bought into. If you ever want to know whether or not someone has truly bought into what you're preaching, just listen to them talk. And I'm glad I waited to say that, because some of you would hear that and go, oh my goodness, I say some pretty jacked up stuff. Maybe I'm not qualified. No, I want you to understand that you're qualified. You may not know how qualified you are. And when you start realizing how qualified you are, you'll start speaking along the lines of the qualifications that you have. But when you start walking around confessing stuff over yourself, like I'm a failure and I can't get this right and there's nothing, I'm just a screw. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're the temple of God. You're the righteousness of Jesus. God chooses to rend heaven and dwell among you. There must be something good inside you. And that good thing inside of you is your spirit man that has been made whole by the blood of Jesus. So no, you're not messed up. You're not infinitely destroyed. Out of everything in the universe, God sees you and he calls you his child. And so in this series of prayer, what we've learned, where we ended off, was Laurie taught. I listened to it. It was a beautiful teaching. I hope you gleaned from it that you have a purpose, that you have a purpose in this end time. You have a specific assignment. And in order for you to truly understand that assignment, what you have to understand is you are worthy of being assigned. I'll say that one more time because some of y'all didn't get that. That was too many assignments. In order for you to truly understand your end time assignment, you have to understand that you are worthy of being assigned. You are worthy of the assignment. You can do it. You can do it. He would not have waited this long for the second coming until he found a generation that was worthy enough to usher it in. And I'm okay with saying that some of the generations past may not have been suitable. That doesn't mean that they lacked power or that they lacked the manifestation of the glory of God, but they may not have been what you are. You have something on you that qualifies you to be alive at such a time as this. That's why the enemy wants your attention so bad, and that's why he attacks you so much. But that's also why the glory of God rests on you and why you are so powerful. And so we begin to talk about being a house of prayer. And I was writing this down, and I was going through, and I'm kind of off book right now. There's a bunch of scripture that I had and a lot of outlines and stuff like that, but I'm just going to strip it all the way down, and it's just going to be me and you, okay? I was typing this out on my computer, and I was typing the lyrics to the song, Lord, make me a house of prayer. And then the second lyric, anybody remember what it is? The second line? It's just two lines of the song. I mean, second line says what? No, not y'all. Them. What does the second line of the song say? What does it say? May the fire on my altar never burn out. Paul says you're a living sacrifice. Anytime you make anything with flesh a sacrifice, it's called a burnt offering. And there were very specific outlines for how you're supposed to do a burnt offering in Leviticus chapter 12. In Leviticus chapter 6. But verse 13 says, and the fire on the altar should never burn out. The fire that we use for burnt offering should never burn out. And I believe that was a picture of how you're supposed to burn for God. You should never not have fire inside of you. And the reason that's significant is this. We are raising up a generation, and this is your spiritual report card. I believe that you have transitioned from being people who pray to being people of prayer. I believe you've come out of this system of churchdom that we've had for so long that said, You gotta pray, which is why we can call a revival service and have cars overflowing in the parking lot, but we call a prayer meeting and there's three old ladies that come. But I believe that day has ended with this generation and with you. I believe that you're gonna hunger for prayer more than you hunger to be entertained in church. Let me say that again. I believe you're going to be more hungry for prayer than you are for the rock star guitarist and the awesome drummer and the keyboardist who can make the keys sound like there are 80 million of those jokers. I believe you're going to be more hungry, and I believe that you're going to stop going to stuff that does not have a spirit of prayer on it. You're going to stop listening to stuff on the radio that doesn't have a spirit of prayer on it. You're going to stop attending things that haven't been prayed, and you're going to be a discerner of whether or not people pray or whether or not they placate God. And so you're going to be able to walk into buildings and you're going to know whether or not there are prayers behind what's going on in that building, because you're going to be able to sense it. See, that's the difference between raising up a generation of people who pray and raising up a generation of people who are people of prayer. You're birthed in prayer, you're bathed in prayer, you are of prayer, and so you crave prayer. Here's why that's significant. I was typing on my computer and just praying about what I was going to talk about tonight. And my computer, when I typed in that line, may the fire on my altar never burn out, I tried to type it in as two words, burn. My computer corrected it to one word, burnout. And so I went back up and put the cursor there, and I hit the space bar and I hit end to go to the end of the sentence. And when I hit the space bar again to go to the next part of what I was typing, it put them back together again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I looked up at the screen and I said, well, Lord, you trying to say something? And he said this, the reason why there's such a large percentage of young people who go off to college and they leave the faith has everything to do with burnout. It has everything to do with they've heard it and they've seen it and they've looked at it and they've read it and they've been in services and people have preached at them and preached with them and preached to them, but no one has ever connected in ministry. And so when they go off, they don't have any root. And when you don't have root, you end up dying as long as nobody is watering you constantly. See, a tree that's planted by the river waters, what Psalm 1 says is that it will bring forth its fruit in season and its leaves will not wither, and whatsoever it does will prosper. Which means that if you're planted correctly, when other conditions come, it won't affect you. But what happens is we launch people out in a life that don't have any root. And so when the other conditions come, it affects you so bad. And you get people burning out in the faith. And so they decide that they're going to try something else because they've heard this and quote unquote, it's not working. Well, the reason it's not working is because you lost your fire. You burned out. And then the Lord reminded me of this scripture right before this service. He reminded me that the bush that Moses saw, which was in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. You don't even got to bring it to me. It says this. The bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. I believe that you are going to burn. You've become a house of prayer, and what you say with your mouth is powerful. It's powerful. And you have declared over yourself, Lord, make me a house of prayer and let the fire on my altar never burn out. Which means that God, make me a house of prayer that you see suitable enough to stand in the place of intercession and you see suitable enough to stand in the place of communion with you. And I don't want the fire that's burning inside of me to ever burn out. I believe that we're raising a generation of people who are going to drastically change the statistic about what happens after you graduate, because we're raising up people who burn but don't burn out. You burn, but you don't burn out. You're immune to the idea of burning out because you're not people who pray. You're people of prayer. You're not people who worship. You're people of worship. You're not people who go to church to look at God or to watch the show. You are people of God. You are people of the kingdom. And so the fire on your altar can never burn out. Regardless of the conditions, the fire will never burn out. And so I just want to cap off this series by just letting you declare that for a second. And we ain't had time to sit down and go through all of the motions that we normally go through, but I want you to remember this moment. I want you to remember this series, and I want you to remember what it did to your life. You can look back on this day. If you're a senior in here, you can look back on this day and this time next year. If you're at college or wherever you're going to be, and you can say, you know what? I don't care how much temptation there is to go and do this thing, but the fire on my altar will never burn out. I want you to be able to look back at this 10 years from now and say, you know what? The fire on my altar will never burn out. I declared back in 2014 that the fire on my altar would never burn out. So can we just declare that for a second? I first realized the anointing was on that song. We were driving here in my truck one morning to church. And my three youngest children were sitting in the back seat of the car. And that's all they were singing. The fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. Fire on my altar never burn out. And I can remember praying this in my heart over them. God, please hear that prayer and honor that request. Because no matter what I do as a father, if that fire never burns out. So, Father, I believe you've heard this prayer. And I believe that you will honor this request. God, that no matter what happens, that the fire on the altar that we have for you, the burning in our heart, that yearning in our belly, God, that inmost groaning for you, that that never burn out, that we never get tired of you, we never get sick of seeking you, we never get enough of you, but that we continually yearn for you. We continually yearn to be close to you. We continually yearn for you. We continue to yearn for all things that come from you. Your word says that everything good and perfect comes down from the Father above. And so, God, we declare from this place that the fire on our altar, as much as it depends on us, the fire on our altar will never burn out. And we know, God, that you will do your part, that the fire on our altar will never burn out. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and we love you, God. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for all that you are, for the person that you are, for the spirit that you are, for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God. We thank you that you choose us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I declare concerning you that you are people of prayer. Amen? Amen. All right. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.